Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am so forever grateful not only to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, yes, first and foremost, but I am so thankful and grateful that you, as a listener to Mission from the Heart Radio, continue to be faithful to this broadcast in listening to the message of God, that it will help you to grow and go in grace. So God bless you, and thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast. It is only by faith that we believe in Jesus Christ, because he died on that cross for you and me. So again, thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio. Now we are starting a new series, and it is called It's Not Complicated, Look Alive. Again, the title to this new series is It's Not Complicated, Look Alive. But before we start, I would like to offer up a prayer of praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I've invited a sister in Christ, Shirley, to bless us with a prayer of praise. So, Shirley, thank you for being a guest with me on the broadcast today and offering up a blessing of prayer. So if you could, Shirley, go ahead and pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, for everything that you have done for us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you bear on that cross, Lord God, for us. We thank you and praise and lift your holy name, Abba Father, Jehovah Jireh, Lord God. We want to lift your name up high above every name above all the earth, Lord God, because no one matches your name, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you are so wonderful and awesome and so pleasing to our, so pleasing to us, Lord God, that we want to lift you up high above every God, Father, that they have on this earth to worship, Lord God. You're the only true God, Father God, that's on this earth that is to be adored and worshiped, Lord God. You're the only one that has the power to give and take away, Lord God. You're anointed, Lord God. You're praiseworthy, Lord God. You're magnificent, Lord God. Have your way, Lord God. Bless your holy name, Lord God, in my name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord God, totally and completely, Lord God. And Lord, you know, you are just so loving and caring for your people, Lord God. Bless us to continue to be have the love that you have for others, Lord God, on the broadcast on today, Lord God. Lord God, let us have bless the host and bless those that are listening, Lord God. Let them have open ears, open hearts, Lord God, to receive you into their hearts today, Lord God. Have your way, Lord God. Bless your holy name. Amen.
Amen. So thank you again, sister, for praying for us as we came and touched and agreed with you in prayer. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with us as we lift up God in all of his holiness. And he is so worthy to be praised. So now as we come ready, willing, and able to the throne of grace, as we continue to search his word, as we continue to look through the pages of his word, that they come alive and make us brand new. So I want you to get your Bibles ready. I want you to come hungry and listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you. But for those of you who may not know Jesus personally, intimately, and in the pardoning of your sin, I want to stop, drop, and pray right now that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Although our sister Shirley lifted up prayer for this teaching series today, that the word would come alive, that the ears would hear God tugging on their heart, teaching and guiding you to receive him, I want to pray a prayer of salvation for those who are not alive in Christ Jesus, that you would receive him by faith and confess to others that he is your Lord and Savior, that you will live eternal, that's the promise, in heaven. So let's bow together. Now it's my words, but your heart, whole heart, come to the throne grace of God with lifted hands, humble heart, that you would receive salvation by his sovereign grace, that you will be born again. So if you would, repeat after me. And for those of you, brothers and sisters, who may have or been praying for someone to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, call them by name. Lift them up in prayer that they will come to know Jesus intimately, personally, that they will start walking a new, born again life. So lift them up in prayer, if you will. So let's pray a prayer of salvation. Lord God, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. And I believe by faith that you are my salvation. I come to you as intimate and as humble as I know how, asking you to save me. I surrender my life to you, Lord God, because I believe by faith that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe by faith that it was only by his blood that it covered my sin. And Lord, I believe by faith that he rose from the grave and he lives with you, sitting on the right-hand side. And he is building a house for me, not made by hand of man. I believe, Lord God, I believe. I confess that I am a sinner, but I believe my sin is covered. Lord, I thank you for receiving me as your child. But I shout hallelujah because I believe now that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I didn't want to move any further in this lesson because as we see through prayer and as we believe by faith, this teaching series is called It's Not Complicated, Look Alive. And I want to say welcome to the family of the body of Christ. And you are now alive, buried, yes, your transgressions, your sins, but alive, you get up, yes, a new, a fresh, born again, regenerated believer in Christ Jesus, a Christ follower. So now I encourage you to find a Bible-believing church that you would be baptized by submersion and when you arise, that you would go and tell everybody that you are a born-again believer, that you have been baptized by way of the Holy Spirit, who now lives in your heart, who is communing with you by way of your human spirit when the two became one. And so, hallelujah, and make sure that you get into a discipleship class or a Sunday school class that you would be able to be discipled in a small group, that you can go and grow in grace. Hallelujah. So, again, welcome to the family of Jesus Christ as a believer. So we're going to look at the lesson. And you have your Bible. You need your heart, your heart's ear, to be in tune to what now the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you through the book of Romans. And that's our launching pad, is the book of Romans. And again, the teaching series, it's not complicated. Look alive. Listen to these words. It's not complicated that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. It's not complicated, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Romans 10:10. It's not complicated. He died. He was buried, and he's alive. It's not complicated. So I want us to look at 3 points as we journey through the scriptures in the book of Romans, and as we come to a simplistic understanding that it's really not complicated. As our launching pad, we're going to look at Romans 10. As I just read Romans 10:9 and Romans 10:10, I will reread those verses as we move through these particular points. Now, for this teaching series, point one for you note takers, point one is he died. So if you could make note of that particular point, he died. Point two is he was buried. He was buried. And point three, he's alive. Those are the 3 points. Point one, he died. Point two, he was buried. And point three, he's alive. And we're going to look at these 3 points individually, but our focus for today is point one, he died. And we want to look at, of course, the subject being Jesus, who died. And I want us to understand that when he died, or why he died, it was to make it easier for non-believers or those who are walking in darkness, if you will, or we can look at it like this, those who are not saved, who have not accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. He died for them as well as the whole world, meaning he died for the Jews and the Gentiles. He died for everyone walking and grieving on this earth, humans. And I want to make it so simple that our children can understand why Jesus died for us. Now, again, the teaching series is, it's not complicated. Look alive. It was never to be complicated or misunderstood, meaning God's word, the scriptures. But the gospel was never meant to be complicated. It was to be very simplistic. And as we prayed for those to come to know Jesus intimately and personally, lifting them up in prayer, but again, it's their heart to accept him, he still died for those who reject him. So we're going to look at scripture in Romans chapter 3, if you will. So if you would flip to Romans 3, and we're going to start with verse 21. Focusing on verse 23, but we're going to start it with 21. And I'm going to read in one translation, and it's going to be the NIV, New International Version. I'm going to focus on reading through that particular translation. So Romans 3, and we're going to start in 21. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, into which the law and the prophets testify. Let me reread that, because several things the Holy Spirit is revealing as I read these verses. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. To all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. And we're going to stop there. These few verses speak volume. But to keep it simple, we understand, or I hope you understand, that the righteousness from God comes through faith in his son, Jesus Christ, to all of us who believe. Now remember, what is salvation? What is salvation? In its simplest form, salvation is getting God out of heaven into man. Very simple. Getting God out of heaven into man. And when I heard that by a Bible teacher, it really stuck in my mind. Salvation was never to be complicated. It's not complicated. We are to look alive. And the only way that we can look alive is when we become regenerated or born again. We have to come alive. And the only way that we can look alive or come alive is through Jesus Christ. And that is God living inside of us, those who believe. And he is in us by way of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, salvation, very simple, is getting God out of heaven into man or woman. Let's reread these verses again for the benefit of understanding simply. Starting with 21, but now a righteousness from God apart from law. What is the law? The law is the Ten Commandments. That the prophets and the law, they testified about this righteousness from God. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, in which the law and the prophets testify. So what does that mean? But now a righteousness, not these righteousness or a group of righteousness. No, a righteousness. That's singular. A righteousness from God. What is salvation? Getting God from heaven into man. A righteousness from God apart from the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets testified of this righteousness. And the righteousness that they testified about is from God. Verse 22, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Jesus is a righteousness from God, is God's Son that died on the cross. We know the story, but for the benefit of those who don't, and for the benefit of those who want to share the gospel in all its simplicity, nothing beats understanding and understanding the Word of God in all its simplicity. Through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Now, who are all? All who believe, regardless of your background, regardless of your race, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of where you came from and who you came from. Jesus died on the cross for all. He died on the cross and rose from the grave. He paid the penalty for our sin. He is the righteousness of God. There is no difference, for all have sin falls short of the glory of God. What does that mean? That means that we were born in sin. We were born in sin. So what does that mean? Because of the act of Adam and Eve, sin fell into the world. And you read about that in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Because sin fell into the world through Adam, then it populated humanity. So as Adam and Eve, of course, became fruitful and multiplied, sin or fallen man came into the world by way of them because of their disobedience in the garden. So there is no difference in where or who we are, as I indicated, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of God's glory, of his grace. We fall short of his blessings. We fall short. But thanks be to God, his love covers us unconditionally. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can say. There's no act that we can perform that would justify us having a sinless nature. We came into this world sinful nature. Some call it a soulish, sinful soul, or man, or woman. Our parents did not have to teach us how to lie, cheat, or steal. It just came automatic to us. They did not have to teach us how to be selfish, self-centered, or self-absorbed. Me, myself, and I. Parents did not have to teach children how to do that. It just came naturally. And because of the fallen man, Adam, we are a fallen, sinful, wicked people, dead in our transgression. Dead in our transgressions. So we needed a Savior, a righteous one. And as it indicates in verse 22, the righteous from God comes through faith in who? Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone. He is who we have faith in. Sister Shirley, as we prayed in the opening of the broadcast, she prayed that we would have faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. When we accept Jesus by faith as our salvation, it's only by him and him alone. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No man can come to the Father, God, but by him, Jesus. He is the only way. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So we are justified freely by his grace. That means we are saved only by his saving grace. God's saving grace. Believe by faith, but we are saved by grace. Justified by Jesus Christ, who died on that cross. He was the redeeming, the redemption that was paid on the cross for you and I. And we were justified, meaning guiltless, righteous in relationship with Jesus Christ. Justification, guiltless, made righteous in relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's look at Romans 5, 1 and 2. Hold your finger or mark your spot in Romans 3, but I want us to move over to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So now, think about that. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, by our faith in Jesus Christ, we have been justified. Justification. That means we are guiltless. Yes, we still sin, but Jesus, being the Redeemer who died on that cross, justified us, made us righteous in relationship with him. So let's think about this. He died on the cross for our sins. Through his blood, covered our sin, gave us a way to God to come to the throne of grace in prayer. He doesn't see our sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He redeemed us on that cross. We are justified, meaning made righteous, in relationship by faith in Christ Jesus. Guiltless. We are not guilty of the sin. And God has thrown or does not see our sin and thrown it into covered it with the blood of Jesus. So now that we see how Jesus died on the cross, and because he died, we have gained so much from the death of Jesus on the cross. Came from heaven through a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes, walked the earth, ministered to the sick, the lost, healed the brokenhearted. Gave sight to the blind, and he died on the cross. He was bruised and he was pierced for our transgression, sin. And he redeemed us Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. With God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access to God by faith in this grace in which we now stand. So the only way that we can have access to God is by faith in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. So in order to understand salvation, now remember, I'm keeping it simple for those who may need to come to know him and that they can explain this salvation factor, if you will, to others so that they can come to know Jesus for themselves. Remember, the title of this series is It's Not Complicated. Look Alive. And so when we see that Jesus died on the cross, point one, he died. Point two, he was buried. And point three, he's alive. Now we understand salvation as getting God out of heaven into man, into you and me, into others. And as we looked at the scriptures in Romans 3 and we flipped over to Romans 5 to understand that justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through whom we gain access. We gain access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We stand by faith, saved. Stand and believe by faith, and we stand sure-footed and saved by the grace of God. So I just want to make it plain and simple. Getting God, who is life, into your spirit, meaning your human spirit. So let's read a little further. Now, before I move into our next chapter or our next verse passage, I wanted us to understand that Adam brought in ruin, sin, death, separation from God. He was disobedient, judgment on our soul. The law had to be implemented by God, the Ten Commandments. Now, this is what Adam brought in because of his disobedience to what God said. But what we have now as children of God, as a redeemed body, as a justified body through Jesus Christ, who died, we were rescued. We have the righteousness in relationship with Christ Jesus. We have eternal life through salvation. Relationship with God, where we now start becoming obedient to the will of God as we grow and go in grace, as we fall in love with Christ, as we become intimate with Christ through the Word of God, as it is our roadmap. Deliverance from hell. And, of course, God's saving grace. God's saving grace. We have peace with God. We've gained access to God. So I hope these stick with you in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your body, that it helps you to better understand, yes, I am saved. I have access to God. I may sin, but I go on my knees before God. And because of Jesus' blood, he redeemed me. I have access to God. God hears me. I'm not separated from God. Now we're going to go to John 10:10. John chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 10. Let's back up to 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Now, if you think about it from a shepherd's standpoint, when he says that he is the gate, who are the sheep? We are the sheep. The sheep are those who hear the voice of the shepherd. The sheep's ears are in tune to the shepherd. And if you think about the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The 23rd Psalm brings this particular verse alive. It keeps my mind in perspective and understanding what Jesus was saying concerning the good shepherd. I tell you the truth, I am the gate. Jesus is the gate. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life of the sheep. He's the life-giving tree. He is the living water. He is the bread of life. Jesus is the gate for the sheep to draw into, to run to. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Sheep do not want for anything because they depend totally on the shepherd to lead them, to guide them, to feed them, to tend to them, to protect them. This is what the shepherd does for the sheep. Sheep run into the gate, refuge. Safety is through the gate. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. Thieves and robbers. Who's their gate? The gate of the thief and the robber is Satan. Thieves and robbers distract, destroy, divert the sheep from drawing into the gate. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They run interference, distraction. The wolves or the thieves and robbers in your life are people who do not have your best interest at heart. They tell you a song and a dance. And if you are undernourished, you will be easily led astray. Sheep are easily led astray. That's why they need a shepherd. That's why the sheep are supposed to stay close to the shepherd. Their ears should be in tune to the voice of the shepherd. But robbers and thieves will throw distractions and lead the sheep to slaughter. Now that could be you if you do not stay close to the gate or the shepherd. How do you stay close? How are we as sheep of the shepherd to stay close to him? That's capital H-I-M, by way of his word. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. His word is the lamp that shines bright for our feet to not slip and slide. We are to stay and stand close to the shepherd. Through the word of God, we become stronger and stronger. We have refuge and safety. Through the word of God, through the access of prayer to God in Jesus' name, we have accesses. As Jesus is the high priest, he is the great shepherd. He said he is the gate. And so when we allow thieves and robbers in our life, then it robs us of the blessings that God has and wants for us. Thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. So these particular sheep were strong sheep. These sheep were sheep that understood. They understood. It wasn't complicated. They stood every promise of the word of God. The sheep did not listen to Satan. They did not fall into his wicked way. This is what we as believers have to continue to do. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one, according to the model prayer. Yes, he is our Father, which art in heaven. But the robber and the thieves will try to snatch you away, the weak one. But these particular sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So when we enter through the gate, the ark, when we run to Jesus and run from sin, we will be saved. He died on the cross for all humanity. But there are those, such as the robbers and the thieves, they rejected him. But there were sheep that did not listen to those who rejected, and they maintained their acceptance of Jesus Christ. So the only thing that these particular sheep saw was the gate that they wanted to freely go through. Salvation is free. But there are and there will be those who reject it, reject salvation, and they will enter into the wrong gate. And then we look at the fact that he will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Talking about the sheep, the weak sheep. And even some strong sheep, meaning the stronger ones who are in Christ Jesus, that are eating the meat of the word, he will try to tempt. He being Satan, and in this passage, I'm going to refer to him as the thieves and the robbers. He will try to tempt and cause us to fall into a way of life that we seem to think we cannot overcome. I think about the prodigal son, who was raised to understand and not only to understand, but to know God. Him and his brother. But something got into his mind, and I know what that something is. The enemy tempted him by requesting his inheritance from his father. And he wanted it now. And his father gave him what he wanted, his inheritance, all of it. And we know the story, and if you don't know the story, look the story up concerning the prodigal son. And you'll see his behavior from the time he stepped away from his blessing, the father, and took with what he thought was his blessing, the inheritance. And he went into the pasture, the wilderness, where thieves and robbers are lurking and seeking whom they can kill, steal, and destroy the world and tempt you in such a way that it will cause you to live a lifestyle that is opposite of what you were taught. The prodigal son lived a lifestyle that was totally opposite of what he was taught. He was with prostitutes, he squandered his money, and he found himself eating slop with pigs. He was tempted, he was robbed, and had he not came to his senses, he would have died. But thanks be to God for his grace and his mercy on a wicked world, that he loves us unconditionally. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Abundantly. That's salvation. Abundant life. I have come, talking about Jesus, that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, in verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus calls us friends. Will a man lay down his life for a friend? This is what Jesus did on the cross. He gave up his life. on the cross. He's the good shepherd, and he laid it down for you and me. Now, what does this mean? Yes, we're saved. I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And yes, I believe by faith that he died on the cross for my sin. And yes, I know that he is the bridge between me and God. And I have access to God through Jesus. I can come boldly to the throne of grace, making my petitions known to God through Jesus Christ. So he died on that cross for you and me. What does that mean? We will die also. Why? Because the body on a physical death, and we will lay our body down one day. But what does that mean? What it means is that Jesus died, we will die a physical death. Now, there's three deaths, and I will go into these deaths specifically in our next teaching series, but I wanted to bring them to light. Physical death is one. Second death is another. And spiritual death is the third. Three deaths: physical death, second death, and spiritual death. And we'll look at the passages that explain these three particular types of death, and they are real. And we will experience only one. So for the note takers, if you will, physical death, second death, and spiritual death. Remember, Jesus died. He paid it all. All to him we owe. His blood, the crimson stain, it washed us whiter than snow. I hope that what has been shared and exposed and expounded on today has given you just a little bit, or maybe a great bit, of understanding concerning salvation. It's not complicated. And for those of you who are alive in Christ Jesus, look alive. Remember, it's not complicated. And the Word of God never meant it to be complicated. So when we meet again on our next series, we will look at our second point. He was buried. But we will pick back up with the three deaths, and we'll look at them in detail. So I hope you understood and understand that you can grow and go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is very simple. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Always remember, brothers and sisters, that the grass withers, the flowers, yes, they do definitely fade away. The seasons, they come and they go. But the word of God will remain forever and ever. Thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio. And I pray that you will continue to grow and grow in grace. Thank you again, and God bless you.